Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am ultra excited today. I've got an awesome guest, and his name is Ryan McShane, and he's with HR Evolution, which is a human resource consultancy company. And Ryan does a lot of different things, but today what we're going to be talking about primarily is the gig economy. So, Ryan, how are you doing, man, today?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
Man, it's a pleasure having you on, and I've been looking forward to this episode for quite a while. So let's start off talking about your backstory, because I want people to get to know you a little bit and, you know, where you came from. So you were buried in the bowels of the government and decided to kind of move yourself out into the light. Ah! So how did that story transpire, man?
Well, I can tell you this. When I graduated from Penn State with a degree in labor and industrial relations, I knew that I wanted to go in the direction of human resources much rather than be an arbitrator or get into employment law and be a union steward or anything of that regard. So I my first job was working for the DOD in classification and staffing. And so had anyone told me before I accepted that opportunity that, Ryan, based on your personality, this is probably the last place you want to work, that would have been some good advice for me. But I had to learn through experience. And so I started my career bumping into a lot of brick walls of red tape and bureaucracy. And, you know, before too long, I started hearing things like, slow down, kid, you're making us look bad, or that's not the way we do things around here, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I think from a personality standpoint, as I mentioned, I'm a natural change agent. I continually look at things for the purpose of creating a more efficient process or a better process around the whole of human resources and our workforce management systems. And so after about 2 years, 28 days and 6 hours, not that anyone was counting, I was looking for a new opportunity and went to the dot-com world in downtown Baltimore. Fast forward a little bit, after the dot-com bubble burst, I went and to work in a large nonprofit in long-term care. And I tell you, when I landed there, Brian, I felt like I found home. And I'll tell you why. This group had core values that weren't just a sign on the wall. People walked them and talked them. And one of their core values that resonates very highly with me is learn for the purpose of teaching. So servant leadership enables that. And when you're in a servant leadership mentality, all boats rise with the rising tide. And I had been supporting people on the side in career transition through resume writing, interview skills development, networking, and LinkedIn profiles. And so I knew that I could not necessarily scale that to the extent that I could do it full time, but it's something I could still do. So I combined my career consultation with leadership development and HR consultation.
So, Ryan, I really dig the servant leadership part of things, because I really think that as solopreneurs, as contractors, whatever it is that people are doing, that's kind of a core principle. One of my favorite quotes is from Zig Ziglar, you can have anything you want in life if you just help other people get it. So that's really good. And it sounds like your career path has kind of been like an obstacle course where you learned to tie red tape into a bow, climbed a corporate ladder, and walked into a black hole. Is that pretty close?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So, all right. So let's dig into this gig economy, because I think that's really the core thing that I think is happening. When I grew up in a world where my dad said, hey, you know, go work for AT&T and you'll get a gold watch after 40 years. And that has not happened. And I've watched everything that he dreamed about and got dissolved in front of him, the P word, pensions, benefits, you know, lifetime employment, all those kind of things are gone. I mean, this is not something that anybody can and should expect unless you manage your own lifestyle. So let's talk about that gig economy. What does it look like today?
So it's really interesting. It's a figure that's growing exponentially year after year. It was for quite some time, we've been hovering at the rate of just below 30% for the number, the total available workforce who operates in the gig economy or the contract economy. And now we are in a position of that is soon to breach 40% of the total workforce by 2030 is projected. And that rise is probably to be expected. When you look at the number of factors that contribute to it, we've got baby boomer retirements, and baby boomers are the largest group of new entrepreneurs coming to the market that's ever existed, a huge group. And so they've downsized or they've retired and they said, we still want to remain active in some way, shape or form. So we're going to continue to provide services on a contract basis so that other companies can take advantage of our expertise, years of accumulated expertise. So from that standpoint, boomers are definitely driving things from a number standpoint. In addition to that, we start to see a phenomenon of lack of loyalty. And it's something I hear in HR communities all too often is, you know, these younger generations, the millennials especially coming in, they have no loyalty for their company. Well, I think the loyalty is dissolved long before, not on the employee side, but from the employer side back in the late 90s when all the right sizing, downsizing and all the different layoffs that were occurring that we saw happen to the baby boomers. And as a result of that, the loyalty from the worker has declined significantly because they know that this is not an environment where they can go get the gold watch anymore, that they were going to stay and work there forever. The environment is such too that it doesn't necessarily align with what a lot of the job seekers are looking for in terms of novel exposure, incredible experiences. They're looking for experiences over compensation in some cases. This millennial generation is a highly altruistic generation and is seeking ways to be eco-friendly, ways to do things that are conscious-minded, ways of doing things that are environmentally conscious, ways of doing things that are altruistic and humanistic in nature. And that's wonderful. It also has an implication on the employer side from a marketing and branding standpoint. How are we going to attract the top level talent? Are they going to be satisfied with the humdrum type of workforce whereby we don't have much community involvement, whereby we don't engage in contributing to nonprofits, or we don't have any kind of opportunity for employees to volunteer one day a year or anything of that nature. So I, from a job seeker standpoint, there's a lot of implications to the gig economy. Obviously from a healthcare standpoint, it's beneficial for the employer to hire someone at a part-time rate, therefore not providing the additional overhead costs of healthcare. So that's an advantage from the employer side. The advantage from the employee side is obviously the flexibility, but they too are going to have some concerns about health insurance. How am I going to pick up and carry forward health insurance? I think a lot of that's been mitigated by the availability of the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act enabled individuals to afford to be able to purchase their own health insurance and not necessarily go through a company. And as a result of that, I think that's opened up doors to people feeling like they have some kind of netting under them. For healthcare. So it's not totally mitigated their decision to go through the gig economy rather than become employed for someone by someone else.
So let's talk about a couple of things on those points. I mean, first and foremost, you talk about boomers. And I see a lot of boomers who leave and then they decide to purchase a franchise. You know, no. I've seen people buy everything from Subways to B2B CFO to a Brian Tracy coaching program, you know, and they get into this and they have a business model behind them and they're trying to run their own business. And I see more often than not, people have a really hard time with that. because they get the instruction on how to provide the service, but they don't get the instruction on how to run a business as much. Right. And that's one of the things that I think is uber important in what you were just talking about is I think people have to start looking at their mindset of being a business person. So like you said, you have to factor in that you have to pay for your own vacations. You have to factor in that you got to pay for your own health care. You got to pay your own transportation costs. And so, you know, a lot of people will come out and say, well, hey, I can make $25 an hour. That was more than I was making before, without realizing that 50% of that or more is stripped away by just the general cost of doing business. So correct. What's the mindset that people have to have when they decide, hey, I want to go on this gig economy role? What do they need to be thinking about other than healthcare?
I think they need to understand that they still need a business, a systemic business approach. And as far as not having all the resources available to them, they may have to go out and find a marketing expert or a financial expert or a human resources expert to guide them on that other percentage of bringing that product or service solution to market. And so that's where we come in to complement, as solopreneurs, complement other solopreneurs and get involved. Number of wonderful projects that really support everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. So you brought up a couple of really good points, which I think are uber important. Number one, and this is one of the things I preach as a social media guy, is you are your brand. So that's one of the first things that I think that people have to think about is developing. What's the brand of you as a consultant? What's the brand of you as a solopreneur? The second piece is building a virtual team. You know, when you work in a corporation, when you work in a company, a lot of times you'll have HR, you'll have marketing, you'll have sales, you'll have administrative, you'll have engineering, you know, all these different pieces. As solopreneurs, I think what we've got to learn how to do is identify the strengths that we have and work to the strengths and then hire to the weaknesses and bring in those resources so that we can focus on the most important thing, which is making enough money to survive. I mean, to pay your bills, to pay your health care, to take care of the things that you need to do, right?
Exactly.
How do we begin to start developing, you know, those relationships and the things that we need? Let's start with the brand and let's talk about building that virtual team.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about the brand and then how you can start to attract other people to what you're doing. And so, as I mentioned, what drives me is a very humanitarian approach to labor management. And I think that we've been conditioned under a model for 200 plus years that is no longer viable. And a big part of my work is shifting people's perspectives and mindset to a much more conscious approach to workforce management. And that incorporates what we talked about in terms of the servant leadership. It incorporates that stakeholder orientation where we're going to do no one thing in benefit of one stakeholder to the detriment of another stakeholder. I think when people start to understand the values that you have, the approach that you have to work, and what really excites you and impassions you about your work, it doesn't matter if it's entirely aligned with what they're doing, they are going to be attracted to that. For example, just going out and networking. I do a great deal of networking and speaking regarding human resources and leadership topics. And so I have an opportunity to meet several folks in multiple different types of roles as well as industries that are attracted to what we're doing. And HR, as you know, is something that's transferable across every type of industry and organization.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, in terms of going connecting with those people and how do you go about doing that, I think it's being very transparent with folks, telling them who you are, what you're all about, what you're trying to do, and how does that fit into their modus operandi, their role, and whatever they're doing. And typically, if it's done in alignment with their values, if you articulate yourself as a brand in alignment with their values, no matter if it's in alignment with what their function is or not. They want to contribute. They want to help. They want to see you be successful. And it's a number of those contacts, too, that I don't necessarily do work with, but they really appreciate what I have to offer. So they're happy to extend that information to others who may know of a need.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between being an employee, which has tons and tons of laws about it, to being a contractor, which is something that can ebb and flow. So, for example, you get hired, it's much harder to get fired. As a contractor, they can terminate your contract. How much do people have to think about a contract from their end if they're coming in as a contract employee? How much thought, energy, and process, and do they have any bargaining power on that?
I think you want to be as open as possible in terms of identifying the duration of time in which it's going to take to complete the job or the project. Depending on the model under which you're hired, most contractors and consultants are brought in for episodic support. So I just need you for this particular project. When that project's over, then we don't have any more work for you. I think it's really important for the contractor, the solopreneur, to come in and establish an official contract that articulates the timeline and expectations associated of the relationship. On the other end, I don't know that a whole lot of security exists in the private industry or the public sector, for that matter, anymore. So if someone is kind of debating as to where's my security going to come from, and that's where my decision making is aligned to, I would say that, you know, the other side of the stream in terms of working for an employer is not as secure as it once was 20, 30 years ago. And so a lot of folks are saying, hey, I want to be in charge of my own career, not have it be subject to the whims of the leaders of this organization. And so as a result of that, taking full accountability over their career has involved going out on their own in some capacity or form and having to create that brand, having to create that package of products and services to get it out there for everyone to realize and know about.
Yeah. And so to kind of close things off, I got a couple of just thoughts. And one of them is, I know you do LinkedIn profiles. And so if you're in the gig economy, I think the way that you write a LinkedIn profile to be a resource to people is going to be a little bit different than, say, somebody who's out looking for a job, right?
Correct. Yes. You want to position yourself as a service provider. Not as in a job seeker or someone in transition or, employee candidate. You want to articulate the message of what can I do for you? How can I best support you? And so that really looks a lot differently. You want to feature something of your brand so that people get a sense of who you are. You also want to provide a sharing of either the service or product that you have to offer so it catches the eye. And it also meets the needs of keyword searches.
Yeah, good point. And then the last piece of this puzzle. So, you know, people really have to make that decision. And am I really going to be an independent contractor? And can I embrace that without feeling like I'm being taken advantage of? So the question then becomes is, do they quote unquote start a business? I mean, do you see people starting as a sole proprietor? Do they use the S Corp or LLC or something like that to get some kind of legal protection as a contractor to be able to walk into places and not put their home and their property at risk?
Exactly. The majority of solopreneurs that I see starting up are putting their business under an LLC for that very purpose.
Mm-hmm. And so the benefits to that are, so my audience understands doing that. And again, every state is different because it's way more expensive in Illinois to do an LLC than it is an S Corp. But what are the benefits?
So in as far as the different business models, I could not articulate all the different accounting and financial benefits of doing the two. I remember when I set up mine, looking at all the different options and knowing that the LLC was the least cost and it was the least liable for me. Mm-hmm. So that's what I chose. And I think that's what people look at.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense. The point I'm trying to get across is, you know, if you're going to be out there contracting, don't go out there as just a sole proprietor. that's just one of those things that, you know, it's really easy to do, but when it gets tax time, it just gets a lot more complicated, where there's tax benefits, there's financial protection benefits to going through the process of doing that. Even if you don't, you know, most people think, oh, I'm going to open up a corporation, I got to have a board and board meetings and all this stuff. And most states don't make you do that kind of stuff. So, you know, just think about, I'm trying to kind of back into the fact that, number one, think about running a business. Number two, think about, you know, your brand, think about contracts, think about starting to treat yourself as a contractor, as a business. Even if you don't want to be a business, you still have to have that mindset. So give us some, you know, kind of parting thoughts on that whole big ball of red tape that I just threw at you.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to understand the bigger picture. You know, there's a lot of implications from the employer standpoint of how do we retain our top talent. You know, as I am engaged to come in and advise corporations, oftentimes the messaging is around how do we attract and how do we retain. That's on the top level of CHRO's concern, Chief Human Resource Officer's concerns, is that attraction and retention component. And until a lot of these organizations start to see themselves as branding towards the employee and not just towards the service or product that they offer, they're going to miss the boat. So in other words, we need to make sure that we are honoring not just the clients that we're selling these products to or the services to, but the employees who make that happen, that we see them as an equal stakeholder and we position ourselves as someone who is supportive of that equal stakeholder. So there's a lot of implications on the employer side that could be contributive to attraction and retention in terms of branding. From the job seeker or solopreneur standpoint, it still comes down to branding. It comes down to who you are and how you're messaging that and what who is seeing it. As a solopreneur, some of the things that I do is advertising on social media, writing articles for LinkedIn and other publications. So that people can see that I'm not just a solopreneur, but I'm adding content, helpful, free content available to them so that they can start to associate my name with this valuable resource that they have. So that's a big part of what you're doing, is you're connecting in the minds of your target audience or your target purchaser of your products and services, how you're going to create that value for them, how you're differentiated from anything that they've probably known in the past. And what does that do not only now, but for your future and benefit of you personally, as well as your organization?
Totally makes sense, man. And great concepts, great ideas, and great thoughts. Ryan, this has been a blast. I really appreciate getting to know you better and getting to talk about this kind of topic. I know that we're going to get together and do this again, because there's so many things that we could be talking about. We had a great conversation, and I think we came up with like four or five podcasts that we could do. But so if people wanted to get a hold of you or get more information about you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Thanks for asking. So a good way to get a hold of me is either through my website at www.hrevolutionllc.com, or you can also find me under LinkedIn at Ryan McShane, and I'd be happy to give you my email if anybody wants to talk directly and email me directly. It's rmcshane@hrevolutionllc.com.
Outstanding. Well, Ryan, man, thanks for coming on and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. This is a very important subject, I think, that people need to really start thinking about, whether they're already a solopreneur or whether they're in the job market as a contractor, starting to look at it from a different lens. So, man, this has been great, and I appreciate you and your time and you coming on the show.
Oh, it's been an honor and a pleasure, Brian. I look forward to the next time.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.